This morning's message is Rejoice, God's Justice Breaks Forth. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 47, maybe just a couple verses before that. This morning's message, we will look at Mary's song, or it's often called the Magnificat. I'd like to give you a little background on Mary. Mary was probably a young woman. We don't have any place in Scripture that tells us exactly how old Mary was. But according to the way things were done in her time and culture, she was likely a young woman, perhaps still a teenager. And as you know, Mary had been visited by an angel that told her that she would bear the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And when she receives that visitation from the angel, she responds so well that you have to think that Mary was a special young lady, the way that she responds to the angel. That she already nurtures in her soul a very personal faith walk with God. Yet she's still a young woman, perhaps a teenager. She's promised into marriage. She's probably wondering, what's that going to be like? What's my life going to be like as a married woman? She's quickly learning new responsibilities in life. And now, since that visit from the angel, perhaps she's experienced morning sickness that lets her know that indeed the angel's message is coming true. Has she told her parents yet? Has she told Joseph yet? How do you tell your parents and your fiancé that you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit with God's child? Perhaps her parents know and they're trying to figure out what to do about this. Maybe they don't want to let Joseph or the rest of the community get wind, at least yet, of this pregnancy. So Luke 1:39 tells us that Mary hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She goes there to visit her aunt Elizabeth, who is also unexplainably pregnant. Can you imagine the thoughts and the emotions swirling through Mary's heart and mind as she makes this hurried journey to visit Elizabeth, her aunt? What an encouragement it must have been when she enters the house of Elizabeth and finds that Elizabeth is right on her wavelength. Let me read to you Elizabeth's greeting just a few verses before verse 46. She entered Zachariah's home and she greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Elizabeth understood what was going on. I imagine that was a great comfort to Mary as she walked into Elizabeth's house. And so Mary responds. Often we say it's Mary's song. Here in the Bible it simply says, "And Mary said," in verse 46. "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has formed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. An angel has spoken to Mary. She's been given a responsibility in God's plan. She's become keenly aware of God's blessing in her life. And she knows that God knows her needs, that he's given thought to her needs. And that's the first thing I want us to take note of here this morning. Mary says, he, that's God, has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He's been mindful. Mary understands, God's been thinking about me. God's been mindful of me. This morning I want us to know, God's been mindful of you. Mary sings out in response to Elizabeth's greeting. I believe that as Mary perhaps experienced some anxiety as she was traveling to Elizabeth, that was a great comfort to her as she wondered, what would people say? Who could she talk to? And she encounters Elizabeth. Elizabeth understood, maybe things would be okay after all, she may be thinking. Here's the great and the powerful, the holy and merciful God paying attention to and doing his most amazing work with two common Jewish women in the backcountry of Israel. And God is mindful of them. God's mind is full of them. That's what mindful means, when your mind is full of. And so Mary's soul is shouting, hallelujah! Not because of something that she has accomplished, but because she has had an interaction with God. And in her joy, she glorifies God. With all the potential problems that she may be looking forward to, she sees this as a great thing. She calls God her Savior. He's taken notice of her. The fact that she calls herself, talks about her humble state, probably means that she sees herself as being normal. Perhaps like teens, maybe, she deals with some real emotional ups and downs, maybe not always feeling real great about herself. Sometimes those things are painful. Now she knows God actually notices her. God cares about her. Do you know that God is mindful of your situation in life? God is mindful of you. He's thinking of you. Does it cause you to break forth in praise? To know that God thinks about you, that his mind is full of you. It really doesn't matter what's gone wrong, what poor decisions you've made in the past. God's mind is full of you today. He's thinking of you. He has plans for you. Someone this week told me, I know that God has a plan for me now. They had this sense that God was thinking of them, that God has them in mind. Lou Ann and I like it when the other tells us that they've been thinking of us while we've been away from each other during the day. I don't express it enough, I'm sure. But when I do, Lou Ann really likes that. She likes to know that my mind has been full of her. I like to know that her mind's been full of me. God's mind is full of you. He's been thinking of you in that way. That's where Mary's coming from here. That sounds like something that could give us a big head, right? God's mind is full of me. Now, that's not where Mary was coming from. Because Mary, in humility, is also being mindful of God. Her mind is full of God, in a humble sort of way. That's why she speaks of her humble state as his servant. So as we know that God is mindful of us, as you keep in mind that God is mindful of you, in humility, be mindful of God. Be aware of what God is doing. I want to share with you some key elements this morning to this kind of humility of being mindful to God. I believe it's part of what Mary had going on in her. First of all, realize that you're not in charge. I think Mary realized here that she wasn't in charge. She wasn't planning this whole thing, figuring everything out. She recognized that God was in charge of what he was doing here. Matthew 6:27 says, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" This comes in Matthew where God speaks, or Jesus speaks to us about worry and about trusting and depending on God. In the Message, this verse says, "Has any one of you by fussing in front of a mirror ever gotten taller by as much as an inch?" You may wish that you were taller, but it's out of our hands. Realize that you're not in charge. There are some things that you can change. There are some things that you can't change. What you can't change, leave it in God's hands, or put it in God's hands. This is a difficult one, but I believe it can be freeing in our lives. Is there an area of your life where you could benefit by saying, "God, I accept the fact that I'm not in charge here. I'm not able to make things come out the way I would like. And I've decided I'm going to trust you in this area, Lord, of my life. I'm going to recognize you're in charge here, God, not me." That's one of the characteristics, one of the elements of the kind of humility that I believe Mary has here. We also need the wisdom to know what we can and what we can't change. I think 12-step programs have come up with this prayer: "God, give me the strength to change the things I can and the grace to accept the things that I can't." If God is mindful of us, can we not be mindful that he's in charge and we can trust him with that? That's part of what Mary is doing or learning to do in her journey here. Mary also accepts her position. She states it here as a servant. So accept your position as a servant. We're servants of God. Matthew 23:11 says, again, this is from the Message, "Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty." We're servants of God. Mary recognized herself as a servant. When the angel came to Mary, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary's ready to do what God asks her to do. She's ready to let God be in charge and accept her position as God's servant. How would you describe a good server at a restaurant? It's the one who is mindful of the one that he or she is serving. She pays attention to your desires. She does everything she can to be sure that you have what you need and to make it a good evening, a good meal. She sees that you need a drink or the table cleared before you even ask and takes care of it. That's an example of someone who has accepted their position as a servant. They're serving you. A servant of God is mindful of what God wants of us. We have it in mind. What does God ask of me? What does God call
me to do.
That's part of the humility that Mary has as she's mindful of God. Third, submit yourself to God. Mary's attitude was that this calling was positive in spite of a difficult earthly situation. God has done a great thing for me, is what Mary has to say. Not, why me, God? But God has done a great thing for me. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Mary is mindful of what God wants here. She's mindful of God's plan, and she is submitting to that. Mary knew that she would now live her whole life under a cloud of suspicion from her family, from her neighbors. Embedded in her decision to be fully submissive to God's call was the willingness to suffer possible ridicule, loneliness, contempt. God chose her, and she submitted to His will. It's part of what it means to be mindful of God in humility. So Mary knows that God has been mindful of her. She is mindful of God and what God is calling her to. In the midst of this, Mary is filled with joy, and she expresses the greatness of this God who has called upon her. This song of Mary's is often called the Magnificat. It's for the first word of the Latin version of these scriptures. It means to magnify or to enlarge. And so where in the NIV here it says, "My soul glorifies the Lord." In the Latin version, the word there is magnificat. It means to magnify. The New English Bible says, tell out the greatness of the Lord. In other words, tell what's great about God, about the Lord. Psalm 34, 2 and 3 says, my soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. What Mary was doing was telling the great things about God. And so as we read through these verses, we hear her speaking of God as Savior, as the Mighty One, as the One who has done great things, the One who is holy, the One who extends mercy, who performs mighty deeds, the One who has lifted up the humble, who has filled the hungry, who is remembered to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. She tells out the great things about God. Not only about what God's done for her, but what God has done for others. So magnify God by expressing His greatness. It makes God bigger in our eyes when we talk about the great things of God. What God has done in our lives, what God has done in the lives of others. It's part of what we do every Sunday morning when we worship together. We're making God bigger. It's not that we control how big God is, but if you think of using a magnifying glass, if I use it on the print here, it doesn't change the print on the page. But it makes it bigger to me. I can see it better. I understand better. And so we magnify that God in that way. We make Him bigger. We understand Him more fully. And it brings joy in Mary's life. The other element here that Mary is joyful about is about God's justice. She sees God bringing justice, and that's a part of the coming of Christ. The bringing of God's justice, the arrival of God's justice. It's part of what we wait for in the second advent of Christ. The coming of God's judgment and justice, making things right. Throughout this scripture here, there are words of God's coming justice. At times we long for that fulfillment. Mary speaks of the humble being raised and of the powerful and the proud being cast down. She speaks of the hungry being filled and the rich being sent away empty. James is a New Testament writer who seems to speak to this idea of God's justice. In James chapter 5, James speaks about the rich, and it seems like it's almost in the middle of his book, this sort of prophetic interlude which he speaks. And this is what James says in chapter 5, verse 1, starting in verse 1. "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay, the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. May we not fall into this category that James is speaking to. James goes on then, and this is what he says. It seems like there's an interlude where he's speaking perhaps to the rich and the powerful who are oppressing God's people that James is writing to, because he goes on to say, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." God promises justice, yet it's not fully arrived. James tells us something of how to wait for that justice. He says, "Wait patiently and wait faithfully." Everything promised will not come to pass right now. Yet we wait with expectation and assurance as the farmer waits for the rains, James says. He knows they're needed. He knows they will come. And in the meantime, he fertilizes and he weeds and he cares for the crops. The farmer knows that there are dry times, and he knows that the seasonal rains will come. James also says, don't let the waiting get you grumpy with each other. It's not pleasing to the one for whom we wait. Wait with hope and expectation. A brochure from Peace of the City Ministries caught my eye. It says, a ministry, a movement of love towards justice in Christ. And so as they teach children to read and help them get up to their reading level and their grade level, as they teach teens how to gain skills for employment as they get older, as they speak into the families of those children and teens that they minister to, they're working, they're ministering in a movement of love towards justice in Christ. As we wait, we're called to participate in God's justice as it breaks forth. That's what Mary talks about in her song here, as she talks about God's justice. Where can you participate in bringing God's justice to the hungry? to the humble. Where can you participate? God is mindful of you this morning. His mind is full of you today, this week, in the coming year. As God is mindful of you, will you in humility be mindful of God as Mary was here? Will you magnify God as Mary does? Will you make known the greatness of God, who He is, what He's done for you, what He's done for others? And finally, with the coming of Christ, will you participate in God's coming justice? How can you do that? Where is there injustice around you where you can share in the justice that Christ brings? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you have broken into our world in Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the example of Mary, who was humble. Lord, in humility, she submitted to all that you had for her. And even though that brought difficulty to her life, she was able to see the great work that you were doing. And she willingly participated. Father, she learned to trust you, knowing that you were in charge, that you could be trusted. Father, you were good to her. You met her in her need. She saw herself as a servant, carrying out all that you called her to. And Father, she saw many great things in her life. She saw things being made right. She saw your justice, and yet expected more. Father, may we live the same way. May we be a part of the justice that comes with Christ. May we express the great mercy that is found in Christ. And may we wait with hope and expectation, Lord, knowing, Lord, that there is hope in this because Christ is coming again and will return, and all things will be made right. Father, may we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.